To start, I actually didn't really enjoy going to church or Sunday school in particular, because I didn't grow up going to church a lot. I felt like everyone else knew everything about the Bible, and I didn't know anything. I remember I always felt like I was out of my depth when I was talking to the other kids my age in Sunday school, and it made me not want to go because they all knew everything about the Bible, and I didn't. And this actually continued. I found it interesting because I didn't know a lot about the Bible, but I started to feel a call to maybe go into, like, ministry. And how does that work, right? Like, if you don't really understand the Bible. And so I decided I was going to go to Bible school to learn about the Bible because I didn't know. Thank goodness for Bible school. And I remember my first semester, my first class in Bible school, everyone was talking about this guy named Abraham. And I remember thinking to myself, I sure hope they don't ask me any questions about Abraham. Is he the guy with the boat? And he's not the guy with the boat. But so as I was going to Bible school, I started to learn more, and I started to, like, learn that, no, Abraham's actually the covenant guy, and that who's the boat guy? Noah. Noah's the boat. See, you're doing better than I did when I started Bible school. And I learned that Moses was the Ten Commandments guy. But to be honest, especially the Old Testament, when I thought about the Old Testament, it just seemed like kind of a random collection of stories and really difficult names and places, kind of like thrown together in a big jumble. And it didn't make sense to me. And so I actually took a course at Columbia Bible College with a guy named Ken Esau, which some of you might know Ken. He's actually been here before, and he was one of my favorite professors I ever had. And I took a course on the Old Testament with Ken. And during that time, I felt like he just, like, opened my eyes to the bigger picture of the story of the Bible. Like, everything clicked for me when I started to understand, like, what is the kind of the meta-narrative of the Old Testament? Like, what's going on? Like, why is this here and why is that there? And who is this person? And how does that play a key role? Not just a bunch of collection of, like, random stories, but how it tells one bigger story in the Bible. And so Ken showed me how all those puzzle pieces fit together. And it was actually the first time I started to love reading the Bible. And it wasn't until then. Until then, I could read the Bible, and I would learn things, and I was growing, and it was great. But, like, I didn't love it until Ken opened my eyes to see it. It was the first time I fell in love with reading the Bible. We're actually in a series right now called First Love. We're doing 8 weeks this September, all about trying to, like, reconnect to our first love. And we're basing the series out of a verse in Revelation chapter 2, where Jesus is speaking to what is actually a pretty great church in Ephesus. But he says this in verse 4. He says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first." So it was a great church, doing awesome things, solid doctrine, but they had forgotten their first love. Now, I don't know where you're at. You might be in a place of discovering your first love for the first time, and, like, everything with Jesus is new and exciting and amazing, and that's awesome. Like, I just want to bless you. Or maybe you've been following Jesus for a long time, and you're still in a place of renewal and passion for Jesus. That's awesome. But I know that for me, in my faith journey, which has been over many, many years now, sometimes it can get stale. Sometimes it can get dry. Sometimes it can get monotonous, and I can get kind of complacent in my faith. And I think that this is a great verse, that verse in Revelation, that is a reminder that we're not supposed to just kind of stay in a stagnant, dry, routine relationship with God, but that his desire is for us to know him and to be known by him in a way that surpasses all our other loves and affections, not out of duty or obedience, but out of our first love for Jesus. Today, in our series on first love, where our topic is the Bible, like the whole Bible, and how the scriptures connect us to our first love. In fall 2020, we did a series called Scripture, the Story, Truth, and Authority of God. Now, many of you weren't here when we did that. I was a part of North Langley at the time, and I remember none of it. Here's why. Fall 2020. That was the worst. It was like right in the height of COVID, right? Like this was a time when I went back and I watched some of these sermons online, and the preachers are all preaching to either empty rooms or rooms with like 50 people in them, right? And I blocked all that out of my brain. Like everything that happened, it's not good. So I think it's really good that we're setting aside a week, a sermon in this series to kind of revisit that topic that we did in fall 2020. Today's sermon is intended to be a little bit of a refresher. But as I was preparing for today's message, something kind of different happened for me. As I started writing my sermon, it kind of morphed away from a sermon into something else. And so I'm actually trying something different today. Like, this is new for me. To be honest, I'm a little bit nervous because this isn't going to feel like a normal sermon. What I want to do today is kind of back up a truck and dump a whole bunch of practices and tips and tricks for how to connect with Jesus through reading your Bible. That's what we're going to do today. We're just going to talk a lot about that. So the theme is reading the Bible. And the goal isn't to get you to spend more hours reading your Bible, but to connect with Jesus through the reading of the Scriptures. So before I kind of get into all those tips, because I compiled a lot of them, I just want to share a quick story from Luke 24. Luke 24, there's a story about two people walking on the road to Emmaus. You might remember Matthew Warnock preached a sermon on this topic back in spring. But these two men are walking, and it's the third day after Jesus was crucified on the cross. And they're devastated. They thought that he was the Messiah. They thought that he was the Savior. They thought that he was going to be the one to come and make all things right. But how could that be true if he had just been crucified a few days earlier? But then Jesus shows up while they're walking on the road to Emmaus. But they don't recognize him at first. So they start walking. And they walk for a long way. And they start talking about the Scriptures. And this is what it says in Luke 24, 27. It says, "And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he," that's Jesus, "explained to them what was said in all the Scriptures concerning himself." Jesus unpacked the Scriptures so that these two people saw that it made sense, that it kind of clicked for them, that the big picture, the light went on. Jesus did for them kind of like what Ken Esau did for me by opening my eyes to seeing what's actually happening in the Scriptures. And it says here that he unpacks the Scriptures to all the things concerning himself. That's really interesting. So in verse 31, it says, "Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And then he disappeared from their sight. So they asked each other," this is great, "were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the Scriptures to us?" They had a burning. They had a bubbling within them as their eyes were opened to see the meta-narrative of the Old Testament and how all the Scriptures were actually pointing to Jesus. And this gave them a new love for the Word and falling even more in love with God through the Scriptures. And I'm hoping that's what can happen for each of us today. That you're going to leave with something today that is going to help connect you more with the Word of God. That through the Scriptures, that it will help to reignite your first love for Jesus. So like I said, I've compiled a list, and that's going to be almost the rest of the sermon, is this list. So here's what I did. Last week, I sent out a question to a whole bunch of pastors and friends and people on staff, and this is the question I asked. I said, "What tips or practices have helped you fall more in love with Jesus through reading the Bible?" So what are some of the practices, the tips, the things that help you not just read the Bible more, but actually fall in love with Jesus through reading the Bible? So today isn't really a sermon. It's just me sharing the results of this question that I asked a lot of people. So my goal is that at the end of today, that you're going to take one or two or maybe three things that you could actually try today or tomorrow when reading the Bible. And my goal is not for you to legalistically be like, "Oh, I got to do all these things." No, don't do all these things. It's going to be too many to do all at once. But that you can take one or two things that you can maybe use to supplement or to mix up or to bring a freshness to your Bible reading. Okay, so you ready for that? Okay, here we go. If you take notes, this is a good sermon to take notes with. I don't even know how many of these there are. Like, we're talking like a bunch. So anyway, the first thing I want to talk about is the Great Commandment lens. This is something that someone told me about a long time ago. The Great Commandment is from Matthew 27, and it reads, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Now, this is the key for today. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So, if all the law and the prophets, that's another word of like saying the Old Testament, right? They didn't think of it as the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament at this point. But they're basically saying that all the scriptures are pointing to one of these two things, to either love the Lord your God or to love your neighbor as yourself. So when we look at anything in Scripture, we can actually try and look at it through the lens of how is this Scripture, this verse, this part of the meta-narrative, how is it helping me to love God more or to love my neighbor as myself? And there's actually a hidden commandment in there to actually be kind to yourself as well, that we're actually called to love ourselves. And so I think that that's really great. So I would encourage you that when you come across a tough piece of scripture, to look at it and say, how is this actually pointing to the greatest commandment? So that's the first lens that I would love for you to think about looking at scripture through. The second lens is the Jesus lens. It says in John 5, it says, "You search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life." And this is Jesus speaking, and he says, "But the scriptures point to me. You refuse to come to me to receive this life." See, Jesus is saying that he didn't come to abolish the law of Moses or the prophets or the Old Testament. He says in Matthew 5 that he came to fulfill and to accomplish their purpose. And so Jesus is saying here that everything in the Bible actually points to Jesus either as the fulfillment or as the foreshadowing or something that is waiting for Jesus to come and accomplish. That everything in the Bible actually points to him. Jesus is the hero of the story. And so everything is about Jesus. So these are two lenses, the Great Commandment lens and the Jesus lens, that I have found very helpful when reading the scriptures. When I come across a story and I'm like, what does this mean? Why is this here? What's going on? To actually try and look at it through one of these two lenses. I found this very helpful in my study of the scriptures. So here's what I would love. I actually was going to do this morning, but I'm not. So I was going to actually ask you to call out the most obscure Bible verses that you could think of that seem to make no sense, because the Bible's got lots of weird stuff in it, right? That you could throw those out, and then I would tell you how it fits in one of these lenses. And I told that to Pastor John, and he was like, "Kevin, that's a pretty bold move." And he kind of psyched me out, so I'm not doing it. So I'm not going to ask you. But I would encourage you to do this in your life groups or at home or with a friend or a spouse or a partner. And if you get stuck, you can actually email us. And so if you get stuck, I've got some emails here. You can email John at NLC, and my email's up there too, but you can email John. But for real, go into the Bible, find obscure, difficult passages, and figure out how they're either pointing to Jesus or about fulfilling the Great Commandment. Okay, the next tip is choose your Bible well. I'm a big fan of having multiple Bibles. These are my Bibles. This right here is a study Bible, and I love it because at the bottom, it has notes that kind of help explain what the verse is about, right? A lot of us have study Bibles. Even more than the study Bible, this one's a little more academic and fact-based. A life application Bible is very similar, but it's a little more devotional focused. And so it gives you like some more practical things than just facts. And so I actually find having a study Bible and a life application Bible really helpful. But also, these Bibles are really big and thick, and this is the first Bible I read through, like cover to cover. But after I did that, I was like, it's too big. It like doesn't fit in my bag very well. So I started using this Bible, and this Bible isn't a life application or study Bible, but the text is a little bit bigger, and this one just feels good in my hand. Like, I would encourage you, like, we live in a time and place where we have the luxury of owning multiple Bibles. Like, how amazing is that? And if you have the option, get yourself a Bible that just, like, when you pick it up, you're like, this feels good. Like, I want to read this. Like, spend some money on a Bible. That's a good thing to buy. So I would encourage you, like, again, just get one with a font that works for you. That's I love fake leather. That's my favorite kind of Bible. And so choose your Bible really well. Something else to consider when picking your Bible is to choose or to read multiple translations. So I've got a little chart up there, and so you probably can't read it, but you can find a ton of these online. But there are more literal translations that are really focused on the word-for-word translation of the Bible, and this can be really helpful to stay true to the Word of God. And there you have translations like the NASB or the ESV that are very, like, literal. And so my wife has an NASB Bible, and when I want to get to, like, what's really going on here, I open up her Bible. I prefer the NIV and the NLT, which are a little bit more in the middle. But then I also love reading the paraphrase versions, like the First Nations Bible or the Message. And all of those can be really helpful. So here's how someone explained it to me once. A number of years ago, I got to go visit Uganda, a place called Chibali in Uganda. And when we were there, I realized, like, I couldn't find a loaf of bread, right? Like, I was looking for bread, and no one had bread. What they had was this kind of flat bread called chapati, okay? And so it's kind of like a tortilla or flat bread. And you didn't ask for a piece of bread, you asked for chapati. And so if you were doing a literal, like, NASB translation of the Bible, you would translate Jesus saying, "I am the bread of life." But if you translated that to my friends in Uganda, they'd be like, "Well, bread, loaf of bread, like, what does that mean, right?" Like, to them, that's not the staple. That's not, like, the foundational food in their diet. For them, it's chapati. So a paraphrase a paraphrase would translate that as Jesus saying, "I am the chapati of life." And for my friends in Uganda, that would make more sense. They'd be like, "Oh, that's the staple of my diet. Like, that's the foundational thing. Like, Jesus is the basis of my diet." Like, so know what translation your translation is trying to accomplish, and I would encourage you to read multiple translations. Reading multiple translations can also be really good because it keeps you from skim reading. Like, if you read the same passage over and over again, it's easy to just, and I do this, to just kind of go through it, right? But if it's a different translation you're not used to, it forces you to slow down and actually read the verse. So anyway, so read multiple translations. The next thing I want to say is consistency is key. This was the most common response when I talked to people and I asked that question. I was like, "So what helps you connect with Jesus?" Most people said consistency. This is probably the biggest one. If you could only do one thing, this is the one I would probably encourage you to do. To set aside time, the same place on a consistent basis to read your Bible. One of our pastors on staff said this to me. She said, "I don't turn on my phone until I've had my coffee and quiet time with the Bible. No exceptions. My cat is allowed to curl up beside me, but I lock Rob out of the room." You can guess who sent me that one. So for you, maybe it's first thing in the morning where you're like, "I get up and I read my Bible with a cup of coffee." For me, I love that. Like, I love opening the door on, like, a cool fall morning, like what we're having right now. I love opening my back kitchen door and having a hot cup of coffee and just, like, sitting there in, like, a cool room with hot coffee reading the Word. Like, for me, that's an amazing, that's a great place for me to be consistently reading the Word. Another person told me that what they love to do is they actually get in the car, they drive to work or school or whatever, but they always plan on getting there a little bit early, and they love to spend 5 minutes in their car reading the Bible before they go to school or work that day. That can be their consistent place. Another person told me that reading the Bible every day, if they miss a day, they feel like a failure because they're kind of like an all or nothing person. And so when they don't read it every day, that's really discouraging. And so for this person, their consistent Bible reading included not a daily reading plan, but a couple of times a week where they were like, "On Tuesday nights I read my Bible, and Saturday mornings." And they had a couple of spots throughout the week that were their Bible reading times. But the key to this one is, if you don't have a consistent time to read the Bible, you're probably not going to read it very much. Another thing that someone told me was to add prayer. And they said that quite often they come to the Bible and they don't want to read it. And they're like, "Ah, I just, I don't feel like reading it." And so they feel like adding prayer really helps them. And so when they feel difficult, like when it feels difficult, he told me that he approaches the Bible and he just prays about it. And he says, Lord, if I'm being honest, I don't want to read your word right now. I'm going to do it. So help me to love it. Help it to not be an academic exercise or a box that I check. Help me to see something today that helps me truly love you more. I think it's great to remember that the best conversations we have are normally two-way conversations. And so it's God speaking to us through his word in the Bible, and then we can then speak to God through prayer. And so the best conversations are normally two-way. So add prayer to your Bible reading. Another thing that this one is huge is an intentional environment. This one has been really big for me. So I would encourage you to find a place that is like your special spot for reading the Bible. Maybe it's a particular chair in your house or a park bench or a coffee shop. Have you heard the term thin place? Thin place is kind of like, well, you have heaven on one side and earth on the other. And there are sometimes places where it feels like the gap or the space between heaven and earth is a little bit thinner. And so what is a space like that for you? For me, a thin space is actually this room. I love being in this space. And being a pastor and working for a church, I've always loved being in worship centers by myself and having loud worship music on and the lights all low and reading the word and praying. And that's a thin place for me. I mentioned reading my Bible in the morning with a cup of coffee in a cold kitchen. That's also a thin place for me. Lighting is really important when creating a thin space. What kind of sounds are you experiencing? Are you maybe listening to worship music? Or do you need it to be quiet when you're reading the Bible? Someone told me that their favorite time to read the Bible is actually in church with everyone here while we're worshiping. Like with all the big noise and the band going on, that they love to actually just sit there and read their Bible while everyone is worshiping around them. And for them, that's a thin space. So choose your environment well. Another thing that came up a lot when I asked my friends this question was having a reading plan. And a reading plan is just that. It's kind of a predetermined idea of what chapter and verse you're going to read when to slowly work through the Bible. We have these things called life journals at North Langley. This is a two-year reading plan. And in 2 years, you would read the New Testament and the Psalms twice and the Old Testament once. And so you kind of read a little bit out of the Old Testament, a little bit out of the New Testament every day. We have a ton of these at the hospitality desk over there. They're $5. I have about three of these. I've never paid for one. And so if you just took one, probably no one would notice, but if you're feeling like, oh, okay, I gotta follow the rules, if that's you, then you can give us $5 and take one of those. But that's a great reading plan that a lot of people have found helpful. The Bible app has some really great reading plans. Reading plan can be especially helpful if you're like, I'd just love to read through the whole Bible, or I'd love to get through the whole New Testament, or something like that. I'm actually a huge fan of what is called the string, or the bookmark Bible reading plan. So a lot of your Bibles will have a string in them, like this one here does. And so a Bible school teacher told me once, if you don't know what to read in the Bible, just open it up to that string, and that's where you read. Whoops, that Bible's fallen apart. I knew that was there. Anyway, so you open it up to where it is, and you read. And then when you're done reading, you put the string back, you close it up, and the next time you go and read, you go to that same place, and then you flip a couple pages, and then you put it back. And when you finish that book of the Bible, you go to the beginning where the table of contents is, and you put a little check mark there. And you say, I just finished the Gospel of John. Now, I'm going to go and I'm going to read Judges, or whatever it is. Thanks, Robbie. And you just kind of, you can work your way through the Bible like that. And that way you can kind of go back and forth between the Old and the New Testament. Because like I said, I did read through the Bible once, cover to cover, and I didn't enjoy that, to be honest. I got to like the major prophets and the minor prophets, and that was discouraging. It was just a lot of repetition. And so a Bible reading plan can kind of help you spend some time in the prophets, but then maybe next go to Matthew and learn about Jesus a little bit more. So having a reading plan is really important. One reading plan that a lot of people do is reading together as a family. Isaac and Carrie have a couple resources for families. There's a QR code there that you can check. It's also going to go out in the next family email that goes out. But reading together as a family is great. One of the things that I loved about being a youth pastor was people way younger than me with way less Bible experience that would give me new insight into a scripture. I'd be talking about something and they'd be like, just drop some profound wisdom. And so, like, sometimes I think that we overcomplicate our faith and that kids can actually bring an element of simplicity to what it means to follow Jesus. So read together with kids. Another one is to meditate on scripture. This is all about slowing down. Sometimes we have these reading plans. It's like, oh, I want to finish. I want to get through it. And you just kind of, like, you keep reading and reading. But slowing down is really important. Someone said to me that for them, it's really meaningful to read the same verse over and over again, but to emphasize a different word each time you read it. So if you're doing John 3:16, it would be, "For God so loved the world." For God so loved the world. For God so loved the world. And you just kind of go through the verse and you just let it soak in and you kind of meditate on that verse over and over again. Matthew Price, who's the lead pastor of all three of our campuses at North Langley, he was on a leave for about 4 months. And he told me that when he was on his leave, he didn't read his Bible for a good chunk of it. He said that he had one chapter that he read, Psalm 23. And he said for 2 months, the only thing he read out of his Bible was Psalm 23. And after he had read it enough that he had memorized it, he didn't even open up his Bible. He just recited it to himself, Psalm 23. And he just meditated on that one psalm for 2 months. So take a passage or a verse or something and really slow down and let it soak in. I love reading the same chapter every day for a week. That's what I like to do with my reading plan. And this leads us to the next one, which is read to change. Romans 12 talks about not being conformed to the patterns of the world, but being transformed by the renewing of our minds. And so I think it's important that when we read the Bible, we actually sometimes take a step back and be like, is this changing anything in my life? Like, is there any transformation in my thought life or my actions? Like, is anything different? Because I think sometimes when we follow Jesus for a long time, our picture of Jesus, like, can start to look more like us, right? Like, when we picture Jesus, Jesus is actually becoming more like me. But when I spend time in the scriptures and I'm reading about Jesus, hopefully I'm becoming more like Jesus, right? Like, we're the ones transforming. We're not transforming Jesus into something we wish he was. So look for ways for reading the scriptures to actually cause a difference in the way you think or act. Combine scripture and the arts. This is not me, but for a lot of people, if they have a verse that they love, they want to write a song about it, or they want to do spoken word or poetry, or they want to create a painting or a sculpture. They want to do something artistic to help them really, and this is kind of a form of meditation as well. Last week, a friend showed me his journal. I'd asked him this question, and he opened up his journal, and I thought it would be like a normal journal with lots of words in it, but it was like all pictures and sketches and colors, and he says that he has ADHD, and so when he's reading the Bible, it's really difficult for him to stay focused. So he just reads small kind of snippets of scripture and then writes down whatever comes into his brain, whether it's another verse or it's a word or a picture or an image, and his journal is just a whole bunch of sketches. He said that unlocked something for him, and it helped him to connect to Scripture in a really new, beautiful way. There's a ton of online resources. Probably my favorite one that I recommend is the Bible Project. If you are new to the Bible, there's some great videos about, like, how to read the Bible. They also have overviews. So if you're reading the book of Judges, let's say, and you're like, this is weird, like, what's going on here? You can go and watch a video that they have on Judges, and it will give you great context to know before you start reading so that you can understand what's happening as you read through Judges. There's also the Center for Bible Engagement. That's a great website that uses a lot of research to try and connect people to reading the scriptures. Tim Keller is someone that has a great series called Discovering the Gospel. And that's on YouTube, and he has 10-minute videos on every book of the Bible. And so if you're reading something, go there. It'll give you great context, similar to the Bible Project. Also, follow social media accounts. I had a few people say to me that what they love to do is they found some social media accounts that just kind of put scripture in their news feed. And so when they see that scripture, they don't just scroll through it. They take a little bit of time and they read it and they meditate on it and then they keep scrolling. And so having following accounts that are going to put scripture into your feed is great. There's also, this one is a game changer for a lot of people, is listening to scripture. Listening to the Bible counts, just so you know. It is great that we all, like, have access to a Bible like this, but when the Bible was first written, not everyone had their own copy. The Bible was actually first written to be read aloud to congregations, and the way it was transferred to people was through speaking, through reading the Bible out loud. And I think that that's something we don't do a lot of these days, is to read the scripture out loud. Probably my favorite sermon that I ever preached, I didn't actually preach. I just got people to stand up and read chunks of Romans, and we read four chapters of Romans back to back out loud in a church service one Sunday. And it was so beautiful to hear scripture being read aloud in a public setting. And so listen to the Bible. Nikki Gumbel is probably the most popular audio version of the Bible that a lot of people really like listening to. So you could look up Nikki Gumbel. But listen to scripture. Also, studying in community is really important. We call this a community hermeneutic, a community way of interpreting the Bible, not just as individuals. Be friends with people who you can talk to the Bible about with. Bring it up. This is why we have life groups and apprentice groups and places for you to discuss and dive deeper and ask questions and be like, what do you think of this idea? And someone will be like, that sounds really bad, or whatever it is, or it's sharing great insight. And so get into groups where you can talk about the Bible together. This also kind of brings me to the next one, which is read commentaries and trusted authors. Who else is shaping your view of Jesus? One pastor that I asked this question to said that a friend once said to him, I only have time to read the Bible, so I only read the Bible, nothing else. No pastors, authors, just the Bible. It's like, okay, that can sound good. But then his reply was, I don't know if I trust you to only read the Bible, right? Like, we need to have people that have studied it, that have engaged with it. We need to have this community hermeneutic that we've talked about. And so what authors, what commentators are you using to kind of shape your understanding of the Bible? We love N.T. Wright at North Langley, Daryl Johnson. There's a ton more. So you can talk to me or another pastor here, and we can tell you what commentaries and books. Listening or reading a lot of John Mark Comer these days, fantastic. Also knowing where the section of scripture you're reading fits into the bigger story. This was my Old Testament course that I did. I'm going to kind of go back to the Bible Project really quick. If you go to the Bible Project website, there's like the first thing is watch, and then the very first thing is introduction to reading the Bible. Right there, it has some great like 5-minute videos on how to read the Bible well and kind of what's going on in the meta-narrative of the Bible. And so knowing where what you're reading fits into that bigger picture is super helpful. It's also important to remember that God is the hero. Sometimes when I read the Bible, I want to put myself in the place of the hero. Like, I want to be like, oh, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. And it's like, well, I should be the good shepherd. It's like, no, I'm a sheep. Like, Jesus is the good shepherd, right? So I think sometimes we have to just take a step back and remember that God is the hero of the story. We don't have to put ourselves into everything that we read, but how does what I'm reading shape how I view and understand God? Journaling and taking notes, having a notebook where you can write down your thoughts as they come and prayers, summarizing what you've just read is really helpful for kind of remembering and internalizing it. We only have two more, okay, so we're almost done. Second to last one is mark up your Bible. One pastor I talked to said that her breakthrough came when she started to view her Bible as not just a holy document, but an interactive document. One that she can engage with. So she does lots of underlining and highlighting, and it really helps her internalize it. She said she writes down prayer and confession and thoughts in the margins of her Bible. It's not disrespectful to write in your Bible if it's your Bible. Like, if you're borrowing someone else's Bible, maybe don't, like, throw your confessions and things like that in there. But if it's your Bible, like, mark it up. Like, write notes, highlight it, do all those things. And the last thing that I want to share is to memorize scripture. We have an entire sermon that we did part of that fall series that I told you about that Robbie Ray preached, and he's our moderator as well as he was the chaplain at Trinity Western for a long time, and he has a great sermon on memorizing Scripture. See, memorizing Scripture makes God's Word immediately available to you. And Dallas Willard, he has a thought that that when we memorize Scripture, it helps us to better understand what the voice of Jesus sounds like. And when we understand what the voice of Jesus sounds like, it helps us to better hear when he's speaking to us directly. And so memorizing Scripture is foundational for many people to fall more in love with Jesus through reading the Bible. Okay, so that's my list. That was my dump truck that I just dumped out of all these things. My goal and hope is that you will take one or two things, maybe three, that you can apply right away to try and fall more in love with Jesus while reading the Bible. I'm going to invite the worship team to come up right now. See, here's the thing, is that God's plan from the very beginning was that he was going to chase after us, right? Like, as soon as the fall happened, immediately God has a plan for redemption, a plan to bring us back. He is chasing after us, and he wants so badly for us to know how much we are loved and valued and how much he desires to be in relationship with us. Jesus came, and he gave us himself. He came as the person of Jesus. God humbled himself that we could know what God looks like. And for whatever reason, God has chosen the written word to be the primary way which we connect with him right now, which we are confident of what is true about God. He wants you to know that you are loved and cherished. He wants you to know that you are his son, his beloved son or daughter. He's chasing after you, and I know this because it tells me so in the Bible. So may this be true for us today. May the written word of God, the primary way that he has chosen to reveal himself to us, may that be a place where we fall more in love with Jesus, where we return to our first love, not as something we're obligated to do, but as something that we love to do. I'm going to invite you to stand right now. As I'm going to share a verse from Ephesians chapter 3 to close today. This is the goal through reading the Scriptures. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Amen. I want you to know that we have a prayer team. There will be people up at the front here. If you have something that you would like to pray about, if there's something on your heart, something going on in your life, if you're feeling you want to reconnect with Jesus through reading the Word or whatever it is, we have people at the front as well as in the prayer room across the foyer. So let's worship together.